You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on a Thursday morning, March 27th, where, yes, the Brewers gear is on. Same goes for Greg Bach, who's got his Brew Crew t-shirt ready to go. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well, who forgot that it was opening day of baseball season, didn't
she? Oh, she's wearing, like, Cardinals, terrible colors.
It's not Cardinals.
This is Merlot color. Give me a break.
That's true. It is a very good Merlot.
Is there a baseball team
with a Merlot color?
With like a with a wine baseball
team.
Need
that jersey.
Okay, well, needless to say, while they work on that, let me tell you about this hour's break into spring statewide text to win contest. You need the Civic Media app. You're going to text us a keyword each four times a day. It's a little different each time at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. And for today, for this hour, the prize, Brewers tickets. Well, that seems apropos today. So you're going to text us that keyword before the end of this hour, and you'll be eligible for those Brewer tickets, plus every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo that includes mattress, pillows, bamboo sheets, and more. A little fine print here. You will get a bounce back text message after each entry. It gives you a chance for more entries if you decide to click a link to complete some kind of an activity, like agreeing to follow a Civic Media newsletter, something like that. So be sure to opt into receiving texts from Civic Media for your chance to increase your odds of winning prizes. Full contest rules over at the Civic Media website. All right, let's look at this hour's keyword, and I want to put it up on screen for our people watching on Facebook and YouTube as well. Play. P-L-A-Y. Play. There we go. I was missing the tic-tac-toe music over there. So, play is this hour's keyword. You text that in using the Civic Media app and be entered for your chance to win. Mr. Bach, what did you learn as far as whether there's a Merlot-colored baseball team uniform? I've lost him. He's dancing.
He's
to the tic-tac-toe
thing. Yeah.
Nothing. There are no teams with a wine-themed mascot.
Although
Luke Mathers said the Diamondbacks. I'm not sure if he's referring to...
The Arizona Diamondbacks at times have had a color that is not far off of Ms. Merlot at all.
The only thing I can come up with is that many teams have partnered with wine, with vineyards to create a partnership between the team and the... Because who doesn't want to pop open a bottle of Yankees 20, you know, like... Boy, it tastes like a hot day at Yankee Stadium, everybody.
Yes, although, never mind. We got weather to get to. It is so gorgeous out there. I actually went outside during the break. I had to run outside to take a picture. The lake is like glass. Ooh. It is reflecting the trees perfectly over on the other side. The sun is now coming up at the right time. There was a little hint of light on the western horizon at 8:30 last night.
You saw some? Yay!
Oh, so nice. And so now we're going to take this whole beautiful weather moment, and we're going to ruin it by telling you about the weekend. So take us for a roller coaster ride, Brittany.
Ready? Here we go. Okay, yep. So good news first. Today is just absolutely gorgeous. It is that spring vibe. Temperatures right now, we're in the low 20s north to mid 40s south. We're looking at clear skies in the northwest. There are still some clouds in the southwestern half of the state with some spotty sprinkles still left to roll through. But the sun will come out, even for you in the south where it's raining a little bit. And up north, we're going to see the sunshine all day long, continuing to work on that snowfall. And of course, temperatures today will make it to the low to mid 50s all across the state. So very mild, comfortable. We do start to see some storms, though, rolling through overnight tonight and through tomorrow morning. This will mainly be into the western half, southwestern half of the state. And again, like I said, that'll be gone by tomorrow morning. Then our temperatures take a spike, especially if you live in the southern half of the state. You could be near 80 degrees tomorrow. Extreme warmth. While the other side of the state, northeast, we're going to be stuck into the upper 40s. Like here in Wausau, I'll probably only be in the upper 40s on Saturday. But we are looking at rain building back in on Saturday afternoon. It ramps up into the evening. It flips to potentially freezing rain and then some snow, especially into our northern areas where we could see a very slippery, icy mess out there. This is Saturday night into Sunday morning, mainly north. Down south, it should stay all rain at this point. Sunday is your day down south where you're going to see rain throughout the afternoon. And then at night, that starts to flip over to an icy mix and potentially some light snowfall before it departs. Now, in terms of snow totals, I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea what's going to really, truly happen because these temperatures are right on that line of the freezing mark. Some places I could tell you, maybe you'll get 6 inches of snowfall, but it could mix right in with that rain and freezing rain and you'll get nothing. So this storm is a tough one for all of us right now, but I'll say expect icy conditions, especially north on Saturday night. That condition moves south on Sunday night, and you'll probably get a little bit of light snowfall at least.
So just plan for anything. It's part of the adventure of seasons here. Let's see. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy, 26 degrees, having a nice sunrise. I can confirm. Yesterday, I got old Beast a new headlight, and it runs like a beast, especially during winter storms. He says the snow cover is slowly but surely melting, not so fast that the melt is causing flooding. And he says, happy opening day to the three best morning people around, Pat, Greg, and Brittany. There we go. And Tony says, so what I'm hearing is wear layers. Yes, yep. Layers are your friend this time of year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't need layers. Hoodie's always great. It's fine.
That's the only layer he needs.
I got built-in layers. Maybe it's called Taco Bell. Yes.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too. All right.
Coming up in our second half hour here, we are going to be talking to new state representative Ann Rowe and state senator Kelda Royce. We'll be talking a bit about next week's elections. On April 1st, you'll be voting for state Supreme Court, for state superintendent, a constitutional referendum, local offices, school referendums are on the ballot as well. So if you want to know more about where to register, where to vote, what's on your ballot, head over to myvote.wi.gov and be sure you take part in these elections. We will talk to Representative Rowe and Senator Royce coming up in the second half hour. My guest for the remainder of this hour is Tracy Ann Mangold. Tracy is a former official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party in Northeast Wisconsin. Tracy Ann, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Nice to have you here. It was prompted by an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Tuesday. The headline, tensions over electing a new GOP leader boil over in the 8th Congressional District. And look, this is not the only place where this has happened. The Michigan Republican Party has famously gone through some turmoil. I'm sure some other county parties have gone through this as well. But the upshot, Tracy, is that you have how do we characterize this? I'll tell you how the Trump supporters characterize it as the old guard needing to be, you know, pushed aside for a new round of leaders, but their practices, their tactics, their behavior isn't sitting well with everybody. And some folks, you included, are leaving the party as a result. Can you give us a little bit more background on what this whole dispute is about?
It roughly boils down to there's several things. We have Turning Point USA, which is a faction of Heritage Foundation that has, you know, outraised RNC left and right. And they've been infiltrating different county parties, state level, all across the country. And even on their website, I think it's referred to as the Mount Vernon Project. They specifically say that their goal is to remove old guard Republicans from their positions in the Republican Party. That is not a good thing.
Because now they will say, well, they were too status quo, weren't getting things done, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas, you know, Donald Trump's tactics have surely worked. But it has also led to some interesting characters moving up into leadership positions. And I'm not even talking about the Secretary of Defense, you know, using a texting app. I'm talking how at the local level, you've got the new 8th District Republican chair, who is the chair of the Oconee County Republican Party, Ken Sikora, who is, shall we say, not being universally accepted, especially by more of the traditional Republicans in the party.
Well, the problem with Ken and with, you know, we have a couple other counties in the 8th that are what we call problem counties right now. And the issue is they don't want to follow the constitutions and the rules. So when you go into elected office, especially if you're a county chair, every county has their own constitution, right? And it behooves the chair to follow the constitution. I mean, that's what they're for. Then we have the 8th district constitution, then you have the state party constitution. And you defer to each constitution as questions arise, if you have a conflict or what have you. Oconto's constitution specifically says that the chair may not personally or as chair endorse a candidate for office. Okay. Ken did not follow that. He endorsed Tony Weed. He actively promoted him. Brown and Wapaka kind of follow in line with whatever Ken does. And that's a problem. And, you know, when they try to use our 8th district logo on press releases that counties were sending, which is not protocol, it is not appropriate. We emailed them and said, you cannot use, you know, district logos without prior authorization. And they just kind of scoffed at me and our district chair at the time and said, we can do whatever the heck we want. And when you've got that kind of mentality, they don't follow Robert's Rules of Order. There's a reason they have rules within the party. There's a reason for rules anywhere. You have to have that sort of that order. Otherwise, it's chaos. And that's what's happening right now. And you're seeing it. If there's complete chaos in the 8th district. There's a lot of good counties in the 8th district. There's a lot of good people in the Republican Party. But the bad, the ones that are, you know, overshadowing them are these trouble counties that, you know, it's just kind of petering out of it's rolling into out of control, basically.
Well, right. I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, a maverick or to be a little rebellious. It's another thing to completely disregard, like you said, you know, norms or even good behavior for that matter. So we're going to continue that conversation with Tracy Ann Mangold in just a moment. First, we have to take this break. So I will let you know quickly here that the Milwaukee Bucks lost in Denver 127-117. That ends their Western road trip. They're back at home Friday against the Knicks. And of course, the Brewers open the season this afternoon at Yankee Stadium. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, I know you thought we this was Dick Dale and the Deltones again that we played in our last hour. No, it's the Black Eyed Peas. With a takeoff of it, combining two elements of today's history lesson, that Quentin Tarantino turns 62 today, and that Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas turns 50 today. You can catch our history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. We are talking to Tracy Ann Mangold, and before we pick up that conversation, just a reminder, the Civic Media Break into Spring keyword for this hour is play. So use that Civic Media app and text the word play, P-L-A-Y, and you will be in the running for Brewers tickets. That's part of this hour's prize. Back with Tracy Ann Mangold now, and again, a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that prompts this conversation about, you know, tension and infighting amongst a lot of Donald Trump supporters versus people who have probably been active in the party a little bit longer. From the Journal Sentinel article, there is looking at Oconee County and now 8th District Republican Party Chair Ken Sikora, a 2018 incident in which he pleaded no contest to a charge of battering his wife, is what the newspaper article says. The spouse later said she wanted to pull back the statements, and Sikora said that it was a, how did he put it here, I believe a corrupt Democrat prosecutor was the reason why this is still out there. But Tracy Ann, the point remains that this is somebody that the 8th District is not unanimously behind, and it has caused some real animosity between people and has really gotten in the way of something that we talk about a lot on this show. You can be Republican, you can be Democrat, you can be fiercely independent, but are you service-minded? Do you want to serve in government, or are you just looking for fame or power or whatever the case is? And that's what I'm hearing in this story is too many people getting away from the notion of actual service. Is that an apt description?
It is. I can give you an example. My mother is Shirley Kaufman, longtime chair of Marinette County, former vice chair of the 8th District years ago when Bill Ross was chair of the 8th District. She's been involved with the Republican Party since she was 17. She's in her late 80s now. And, you know, she's seen it all. And she's been chair of Marinette, gosh, more times than we can count. She is no longer, of course, chair. But this last week, she sent a letter of resignation into the Marinette County Republican Party and said she resigns. This is a woman who's given everything to the party. She's seen everything. Blood, sweat, and tears. I was raised, you know, on that in the politics with my mom and my grandfather, who is town of Lake chairman and veteran service officer. So service is important in my family. The people that are in it to ladder climb, that is a problem. But, you know, it should be a big warning sign for the Republican Party when Shirley Kaufman resigns. When you've lost, it's, you know, when, like they said, Johnson said, when you lose Cronkite, you've lost the world. I think it's something like that. But when you lose Shirley Kaufman, that's a statement. Not one person in the Republican Party up in Marinette has commented about it, has said a word to her. It's just, I think it's emblematic of everything else that's happening.
Well, and then when you have other people on the right side of the spectrum, I'm thinking of there's a Meg Ellison who's on the radio in Wausau, Jessica McBride, who runs a conservative news website, and they say that they are just being savaged personally on air. And look, we already know the comment sections can often be a dumpster fire, but there's always, even there, there's some kind of a line that most people would agree you don't cross, that a lot of folks are happily crossing to make personal attacks on people with whom you're having what should be, you know, political or organizational disagreements. And in their mind, everything's fair game.
That's why I got out. I mean, I loved being secretary. I loved preparing for caucuses. I loved talking to the people. It becomes like a family, you know, in politics, regardless what party you're in, you know, people. So it wasn't an easy decision. But it was just untenable, as I put in my resignation letter, the name calling. I was attacked verbally during a meeting because I was trying to hold people accountable. They're pitting people against other Republicans to run for office. And unless that person's a really horrible person or candidate or elected official, you don't pit your own people against each other. And that's what's happening. We're seeing it on the national level. We're seeing it on the state and local level. And there's this tone of hate. You can't even disagree with somebody. You're called names. You know, I was called every name in the book. And we're volunteers at the end of the day. That's all we are. We're volunteers. And that has to be nurtured and taken care of, or you're going to lose people within the party.
And that includes, again, finding room for disagreement. We've said many a time here that I actually want to go back to fighting with Lynn Cheney or Liz Cheney and with other Republicans, because the things that we fight about are tax policy, for example, or trade deals or minimum wage. Now we're on the same side of something because it deals with basic democracy itself. And in this case, look, we always talk about Democrats in disarray. We joke all the time about the circular firing squad, but it's because we're having these disagreements about policy by and large, where it sure sounds to me from the outside like this is more an argument about loyalty, that you're either loyal to a fault to Donald Trump and his acolytes, and there is no room to speak up and say something like, well, even criticizing this recent text chain thing. But it just seems so much about loyalty rather than allowing for disagreements about how a Republican Party should move forward on policy and ideas.
Right. And they're cannibalizing each other. I mean, if you saw, you know, the back and forth, Kurt Johnson, the chair up in Kewaunee County, is an excellent person. He was one of the only ones to defend me when I was being attacked within the party. He worked Capitol Hill. You know, he's no shrinking violet, and they just came after him, but he can hold his own. We need more people like that to stand up against the status quo. You know, Ken is supported by Joe Gigante. He's supported by a lot of people. Tony Weed, of course. And Tony Weed is not making friends with some of the counties up there. I'm hearing hearsay that he's being uninvited from Lincoln Day dinners because of his stance of support for Ken and Joel and Brown County.
I was just going to ask you about that. If you know, what we're hearing is that the congressman is not being invited to some of his own county party dinners, which should tell you where, again, a congressman could play a role as a peacemaker in all this, or could simply be leading the charge to drive out good people. Tracy Ann Mangold is the former treasurer for the 8th District Republican Secretary. I'm sorry. Tracy Ann, thank you so much. We appreciate the visit. All right. Take care now.
I appreciate it. You have a good day.
Thank you very much. When we come back, we're going to talk to Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ann Rowe. This is Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlump. More for Mariah Carey, who turns 56 years old today. Happy birthday to her. Again, it's the opening day for the Brewers. They're in New York to play the Yankees. Coverage starts at 1:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and the newest Brewers affiliate up north, WBZH in Hayward. So tune in for Brewers baseball this afternoon. I don't want to take too much time away from my guests, so I'm going to just very quickly acknowledge a comment on YouTube. For somebody who goes by Babs, I mentioned Jessica McBride earlier saying, and they said, Jessica McBride runs an opinion blog, not a news website, and she lies and attacks people every day, so whatever she gets back, she deserves. I'm so sick of people who think it's okay to lie about people, twist the truth, and then act like the victim when people return fire, and it's always people on the MAGA side. Babs, I'm not disagreeing with almost everything that you said there. Jessica McBride probably was doing her thing before, you know, folks were on the left, which is what I would refer to as advocacy journalism. In other words, we're still doing reporting, but you definitely know that it's from a particular point of view. And Jessica, and I forget the name of her professional partner for the Wisconsin Right Now website, have actually done some investigations and broken some news. But you're absolutely right that at the same time, by and large, a lot of her opinions, let's just say I disagree with them. and leave it at that. But it's definitely a conversation for another day. But it is that division on the right and what people on the right are doing that make up part of our next conversation here. As we often do on Thursdays, we try to talk to one member of the state Senate, one member from the Assembly, and from the Senate, we've got Senator Kelda Royce joining us from Madison, but from out of town. She's on vacation this week. And new state Representative Ann Rowe joins us from Janesville as well. Representative Rowe, good morning to you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to join you. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here as well. Senator Royce, you hearing us okay? You doing well?
Absolutely. Great to be with you as always.
Okay. And Senator, let me thank you again for being part of our Protecting Justice for All event, where we talked about the stakes of all of the elections, especially the state Supreme Court race. And so let me start with you, because you've said it so well, but I wanted to make sure folks on the radio heard you as well. Look, we're not going to get 100% voter turnout. You never do. We get a pretty healthy turnout in Wisconsin, which means there's always somebody that you can talk to right now and try to say to them, here's why it's important to vote on Tuesday. Kelda, why is it important to vote on Tuesday?
Well, the entire future of our state is going to be determined by the outcome of the Supreme Court election. On the one hand, We could be Elon Musk's plaything. We could end up with a corrupt rubber stamp Trump judge on our Supreme Court who will re-gerrymander the state before you can snap your fingers, and who would like to reinstate the 1849 abortion ban that bans all abortion. On the other hand, if we elect Susan Crawford to the court, we could have fair maps. We could have shared power the way that it's supposed to be in a democracy. You know, we could have workers' rights. We could have voting rights. All of that is at stake. And we've also got, of course, the state superintendent race, which is going to determine the future of public education in the state, or whether we're going to privatize our public schools, and a really important constitutional amendment that's going to affect all of our right to vote.
Representative Van Roe, you're newly elected. You went through a grueling campaign, and as your reward, along with all of us in Wisconsin, you get thrown right into another election season, and you see how busy it's been here. Hardly gives you a chance to get oriented around the state capitol before you end up talking about politics again. I'm sure you're doing a lot of that these days.
Well, you know, Pat, I was thinking about it this morning, and actually, I am really grateful for a lot of things, but especially in these times of just absolute chaos and I will say downright horror, certainly at what's going on the federal level, and certainly what I'm observing thus far across the aisle, sadly, in the assembly. I am so grateful to have an opportunity to have a small seat off the sidelines and you know, hoping to make a difference and help the people of our communities, you know, even if it's with the small stuff. That's really what sold me on going after the seat, was that despite the awfulness, there is an opportunity every day to help somebody out, even on a small level. And I really am grateful for that, because I think I would lose my mind.
I am so grateful.
What's going on and witnessing what goes across the aisle. And, you know, the last 2 weeks on the assembly floor have been soul crushing, but at the same time, so proud of our 23, you know, new freshman Democrats, and using our voices and sticking up for our beliefs and remaining steadfast. I hope that brings some small degree of comfort and hope.
Well, I'm grateful to hear you talking about the small stuff, because it doesn't get mentioned enough that there are daily things that legislators help with every day. We call it constituent services. You're connecting people with resources. You're getting answers to their questions. And all of those things have to be done even as you do the big picture things. And I'm going to take the big picture question and bring it back to Senator Roy's over here. And I'm not looking to necessarily, you know, twist the knife, the 8th District Republicans and Republicans overall, as we saw in this last presidential campaign. There are some real divisions there, and it's being reflected in all manner of ways. Kelda Roy's, what lessons can we glean from that in terms of, you know, what should voters keep in mind in terms of, I guess I'd frame it as service versus power, but maybe you look at the current divisions a little differently.
Well, I mean, I think it's a real cautionary tale. We live in this country with hundreds of millions of people who are all very different. And if you want to have the power to do good things, to make people's lives better, to lower costs for working families, to protect people's rights, the reasons why I'm a Democrat, then you have to be willing to work with people who might not agree with you on every issue. And the way that the Republican Party has been, acquiesced to Trump's very, very extreme, power grabs, his corruption, to the chaos in Washington, means that they're not going to be in power for very long, because they are drumming out the very people who give their party, the life and the intellectual heft. The idea of small government conservatism, you know, it's gone. It's dead. Theirs as a party for oligarchs, a party of corruption and incompetence and chaos, and they're losing, you know, their best people who just say, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to be part of a cult. You know, I'd like to have, you know, less regulation or, you know, lower taxes, all of which are valid to argue about in a democracy. And I just think as Democrats, we have to be willing to say, hey, it's okay that you and I might disagree on this or that policy. We believe in the big things, which are sharing power in a democracy, having free and fair elections, treating each other with respect, trying to get things done, and you live to fight another day.
Right. Well, and in one of those areas where people can have an honest disagreement, Representative Rowe deals with the state budget and a state budget surplus. Sure. And I've come at this from the standpoint of saying, look, it's a $4 billion surplus. There are definitely people out there who have plans, if they could do it, to spend the whole $4 billion. There are also folks on the Republican side of things that I think if they had their druthers would give the whole $4 billion away in tax cuts. I'm willing to concede that I think probably you first need to determine the size of the tax cut, and then you can work together on how you invest and spend all the rest. As you head into this session, however, what's been your own guiding philosophy on how the state can craft a new budget that puts that surplus to work in the right way, with or without whatever tax relief you think needs to go in there as well?
Well, you know, I appreciate that question. So I look at budgets at any scale as really a reflection of priorities. And I agree wholeheartedly with Governor Evers' proposed budget centering, you know, really heavy focus on Year of the Kid, meaning all things, you know, childcare, education, taking care of families, making sure our education, public education, you know, which is in a position of catch up, does indeed catch up. And yet the budget is prudent. In my opinion, it is affordable. And I'm a stickler in all of my service and all of my work. You know, I drill down on those numbers and make sure that we have the math to support what we're going after. And I think the math is there. Now, this is particularly tricky given the national federal landscape. We all need to have our heads on swivels and be ready to pivot. I got a question at a town board meeting the other night. Well, you know, if these federal cuts go through, you know, it'll be a while, right, before we feel the effect. And I'm like, no. Like right now, we will feel the effect right now. So I think the budget is nimble. You know, budgets are going to go through push and pull and negotiations of some sort. But to Senator Roy's point, I really believe there's some strong areas in there that will bring bipartisan or should bring bipartisan support in, you know, keeping property taxes flat and rewarding those municipalities and cities that keep their budgets in line and helping them, you know, with incentives from that standpoint. So placing the trust as it should be at the town and municipal level to manage their budgets. But every town board meeting I go to, you know, it's roads, fire and safety. Roads, fire and safety. And I think the budget gets at that. Again, I think it's prudent, and that surplus, you know, you get a sense of how people must spend money in their own household budgets, right?
Right. Senator, how about you in terms of how this budget moves forward? You've spent you know, an immeasurable amount of time working on crafting state budgets. How do you see this process going forward this year?
Well, listen, I mean, the chaos and the uncertainty out of Washington, D.C. means that our first priority needs to be making sure that we do not further debase Wisconsin's ability to help our people, to make sure that the families, the veterans, the seniors, the kids that are being hurt by Trump's attacks on our government and our public services, that we're going to help us get through this. I think it would be incredibly irresponsible to be pushing through more tax breaks, especially because, you know, Republicans have been relentlessly focused on cutting taxes for the wealthiest, you know, the millionaires and the billionaires and the big corporations who now pay a smaller share of taxes than they have at any point in my lifetime. And it's really appalling. And that's all come at a great expense to our kids, our public schools, our local governments, the core public services that have made Wisconsin a great place to live and raise a family. And that's all in jeopardy now. So I'm not really interested in having some kind of conversation about more tax cuts for the wealthy when we've got schools where kids, an entire generation of kids has not seen an inflationary increase ever. That is shameful, shameful. We've cut $1 billion from public higher education, which is cutting off our future economic success. So until we start actually, fixing these, the starvation mode that we've been putting our most important public services on, I really don't want to have more conversations about what more should we do for the wealthiest and big business in this state.
Yeah, and it bears something that you touched on and doesn't get talked about nearly enough because nobody wants to defend taxes at any level, it seems. But the tax burden, not the tax dollars you pay, but the tax burden, the percentage of household income that goes to all taxes, the percentage of household income that goes to all taxes, that's the tax burden, is probably at the lowest it's been in our lifetimes or certainly in a very, very long time. And yet that debate is still going to go on. Folks like Senator Roys are going to do just what she said, make sure that these tax cuts aren't disproportionate to the wealthiest families and businesses in Wisconsin. Senator Kelda Roys, thank you so much for joining us. Representative Ann Rowe, great to see you again. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we will have Luke Mathers talking about what else you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Thursday morning. We'll be right back. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We are marking the anniversary of Sammy Hagar joining Van Halen with some walk-up music appropriate for somebody as handsome and capable as Luke Mathers. In his interesting... yes, he's still handsome and capable. In his interesting brewer's headgear, how do we describe that? One of those hats with a very wide brim and a drawstring on it.
Is this not the baseball hat?
Luke, that is a baseball hat.
This is a baseball hat. It says Milwaukee. Well, it says Brewers on it.
Oh, it says Milwaukee, so it's a baseball hat.
Or it's okay. it's a insurance hat. I don't know. Whatever you want to be. You know what?
It's true. That is the field. That's where they play.
There. Fine. I throw my Brewers cap back on here too.
I got this at AmFam Field.
Oh yeah. Well,
season.
I have another pair of headphones I can put on my head right there, and there you go.
I was like, what Brewer gear should I wear? And I haven't had a chance to wear this one yet. I got it at the stadium. It's a fisherman's cap or a bucket hat for folks listening at home that don't get the pleasure of watching us right now on the live stream. But it will protect me from the sun.
Yeah.
Nor should you. Yes, it is very good for sun protection. Yes. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Quick reminder, you have got about 5 minutes left to text PLAY, PLAY. That is the Civic Media Break into Spring Contest keyword. And then your next chance to win will be at 11. Brewers tickets are up for grabs this hour. Other times it's a stay at Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. Other times it's $100 cash. But get the tickets, text and play this hour, and then you're in the running for the grand prize of the Verlo mattress set as well. If you will excuse me, I want to fill in and correct something I said just before the break about the tax burden in Wisconsin. And this is from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan think tank that puts these things together. When we talk about the tax burden, what I was thinking about that they calculated back in January, by tax burden, they mean state and local tax collections. So they don't measure the federal part of it because they're the Wisconsin Policy Forum. So what are state and local tax burdens like? And it is, in fact, at its lowest percentage of household income since 1970, which is probably when they started measuring these things. And it just is. But now, look, no politician is going to run and say, hey, your taxes are too low. But that's not the point. The point is when you're saying, oh, the taxes are strangling me. They're really not. You know, they've been so much higher. They've been a much higher percentage of household income. We've just demonized taxes and government and public service so much that you get things like we had earlier this hour, the infighting with the 8th District Republican Party, or people just denigrating politicians overall. It all gets me back, Mr. Mathers, to civic media, and where I'm glad we have a network finally and some shows that properly note that people of all stripes can engage in public service or can talk about these things and have these disagreements. And we've got some tremendous shows up and down the network that allow this to happen, with some with guests, some with phone calls. You've got the whole schmear down there.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of everything. And I think one of the big aspects, Pat, to note is public service doesn't necessarily look the same for everyone. Because when some people think of public service, they think of just elected officials or folks that are running for office, either in their community or at the national level. But public service can mean a whole lot more than that. And I think it's important to be having those conversations, because you don't necessarily think of your library, your city clerks, the polling officials. There's so many different ways to have public service and to provide either your volunteer or your work or a number of other aspects. And so it does look different. We have a variety of shows for all Wisconsinites to be able to tune in, engage, listen, be informed, be entertained. And it's really exciting. And one of the cool aspects of civic media as well, we got five Milwaukee Brewers stations. So yes, public service, huge important, but today it is the kickoff of the Milwaukee Brewers 2025 season, and I'm very excited to get to follow the crew all season long. You can listen in southeastern Wisconsin on WRJN. You can listen on WRCE in southwestern Wisconsin. Oshkosh in the Fox Valley has WISS, and tremendous stations as well up in the Northwoods with our friends at Park Falls and Hayward. And so you can listen to the Milwaukee Brewers whether you're in pretty much any portion of the state.
Your co-host has decided to join. You just jump right in your lap and start licking
ball.
You.
Yes, she yes. is saying play ball, because that is one of her favorite pastimes as well. And now she knows the Brewers are about to kick off their season.
I thought maybe the dog was going for the hat.
Yeah, she probably is. Yeah, she's
no.
I miss my dog.
I had my fantasy baseball draft last night, and it was about 3 hours of auction, and she was doing the same exact thing. I was sitting here at my desk and trying to figure out which players had the best value, and she was trying to lick my ear the entire time.
I happen to know that you work for a living, and I know how hard you work. I tried fantasy baseball for 1 year. It's exhausting. I mean, fantasy football, you're you know, maybe on a weekly basis, you're making some decisions. Like, every day you could torpedo yourself if you're not paying attention to your team. And you're such an overachiever.
I just think of that Gary Gallman bit where he's like, you're not even trying to be a player or a coach. You're trying to be an administrator.
Hey, I'll show up to the batting cages too, just to get the player fulfillment. But you know, it's fun. I had no idea what I was doing. I did my first season last year. Just completely no clue. I'm learning a lot. I didn't get last place, so really that was my Super Bowl. That was my World Series. I didn't end up in last, and now I'm hoping to improve upon last year's record.
Do me a favor. If there is a prize for losing, make sure it's not doing 5 minutes at an open mic, because we get guys doing that all the time. I lost my fantasy football. I got to do comedy. I'm like, I'm glad your punishment is my art.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Greg Bach and comedy club owners everywhere. Don't do
I think
it.
I would crush that punishment, though.
challenge accepted. I'm just kidding. All right. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Have a great day. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air 2 short hours from now. Be sure to tune in for that. Thanks to all of you for joining us on Up North News Radio. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We will see you Friday morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.